If you haven't already started to write things down on a computer or other electronic device, then you're going too soon. You're going to be doing a lot at school and then later when you go to work. Grown-ups are using paper and pens less and less these days. You can, and should, learn a number of skills to make writing on electronic devices simpler and better. In my opinion, one of the most important of these is to learn how to touch type, to write quickly without making mistakes using all 10 fingers of both hands across the whole keyboard. With practice, it's possible to be able to write at almost the same speed as it does to think. This is very difficult to do when using a paper and pen, and my handwriting looks like a drunk spider has escaped across my page from an inkwell when I try to write at anything approaching this speed. We'll talk about learning to touch type another time. In the same way that there are different kinds of real paper, there are also different types of electronic paper. Knowing which kind to use is another useful trick, so that's what I'm going to talk to you about today. Real paper can be shaped differently, have different thicknesses, and be of different colours. It may respond in unusual ways to some types of pen or pencil. Writing on electronic devices doesn't involve paper, of course, but there is a choice of what software program to use. Each allow you to write words in your alphabet of choice, but they get to that result by means that are not the same. They record electronic writing in different file formats. You could think of files as electronic paper. Often these sheets of electronic paper are not readable by any other software. This is a problem if you want to use more than one device, such as a computer, a phone, a tablet, or a web-based word processor, to write on the same bit of electronic paper. Imagine only being able to use one type of pen on a piece of paper. Worse than this, the software applications you use today might not necessarily be around in 5, 10, or 15 years from now. The homework you finish this year might not be able to be read again by the time you've left school, and may be lost forever. Okay, maybe that's not so terrible, but you get the idea. If you're bothering to keep your electronic documents, then you want them to be readable in the distant future. So, my suggestion to avoid these problems would be to use text files. This type of electronic paper is just about the smallest and simplest you could use. You can recognise text files because they have a .txt at the end of their name. Text files only include information about the letters, numbers, and other symbols that you can see, and so they only take up a small space on your device's filing system or memory. Small is good when it concerns disk space and sharing files. How small are they? Well, the text file I created writing this blog post was just 8 kilobytes. The same amount of words in a word processor software file was 459 kilobytes. The text file was 57 times smaller. Most applications and software can open text files because they're so simple. This makes it possible to use multiple devices to write on the same sheet of electronic paper, and it means they'll be readable a long way into the future by newer electronic devices. For those reasons, you want to use this type of file above all others if you can. The downside of using text files as digital notepaper is that they can't do a lot. They're text and nothing else. All the extra stuff that people do with their writing using their word processors can't be recorded in a text file. For example, making some text bold or writing a list of items with those items automatically numbered. But then, a few years ago, something changed. You couldn't do those things with text files until something called Markdown came along and changed things for the better. Markdown is a way of writing that uses regular text file-friendly characters to put back in the formatting and other stuff that you can't normally have in plain text files. It uses special marks, amongst normal writing, that a computer program understands as being instructions about what to do with parts of the text. These marks don't get in the way and still allow the text to be read easily by humans. It's very simple to use, and because you're going to use text files as your electronic paper of choice for all the reasons I've suggested you should learn some basic Markdown to help yourself in the years to come. A simple example of how to use Markdown would be to show you how to make small amount of text appear bold. You do this by putting two asterisks at the beginning of the text selection and then another two asterisks at the end. So if I want to make these words bold, then I put two asterisks either side. Any computer writing program that understands Markdown, some don't but many new ones do, will know that this is the instruction to make these words, if I've selected these words, go bold. Instead of two asterisks, you could also use two underscore characters to do the same thing. Another example of Markdown is creating bulleted lists. If you create a list with asterisks, dashes, or plus signs for every point, a Markdown-friendly software program will turn that into a proper bulleted list. There are lots more things that Markdown can do. Take a look at the website of John Gruber, the link is on my blog post, who invented it. If you want more, then another clever chap created more types of special mark that can be used by lots of apps and programs to create tables, citations, and other things you might need when you're a bit older and maybe doing a college degree. His name is Fletcher Penny, and his website about his special marks, called Multi-Markdown, can also be found on the blog post on my website. That's enough information for you to know the basics of what Markdown is and to know where to find out more about it. I can't teach you much more other than to say that the best way to learn the special signs that make text files more useful is to start using them yourself and play with them to see what they can do. The last thing I will do is to mention some of the software that can understand Markdown in text files. I use a Mac and my favourite Markdown editor is Byword. It also has an application for iPads and iPhones. IA Writer and WriteRoom do similar things, I'm told. I've heard that WriteMonkey is a solid bit of software for writing Markdown on the PC, but I've not used it myself. The Day One Journal Diary Mac software, which is the best way I've seen to write an electronic diary, by the way, and iOS app understands Markdown too. If you want to use a web-based writer, then I've successfully used Dillinger, although the saving of files somewhere such as in my Dropbox folder was a bit tricky to understand at first. There are other Markdown understanding web word processes around, I'm sure. I'm very glad that I learned how to use Markdown with plain text files this year, and I'm sure that I will be using this way of writing on electronic devices for many years to come. I'm sure if you investigate it and get the hang of it, that you'll be doing the same too.